All right, so let's go over the end of the third, of the second maimer, of the second part, where it's interesting because he's like painting a picture over here of the type of people that don't believe in the non-physical, right? He says, first of all, they're the people that believe in the malachim just as something posited by Torah, and that there's no way to arrive at that idea through logical inquiry, right? So therefore, they're going to just have a physical idea of it, because that's all the Torah is presenting, a malach, a thing. But then he says, like it says, Kemo she'oma misha choshav shehigia liyidiyas ha'amitus biroga u'bideyos ha'hein ha'chalushos v'rifyon ha'bakosha v'hedar ha'chochmos kulon v'ha'estapkos b'pshutei ha'mekubalos. You see where? Yeah. So he is describing again a certain type of a person. Ki'ilu lo kostu zechronam levracha shedivrei Torah yesh lehen niglev v'nistar. Right, v'lozei yikru ha'nistar sisrei Torah. Right, this is what you were mentioning a long time ago, Ben, that they consider the Torah to be very. I don't remember exactly when, but so what type of person is? But he lumps everything in over here. What type of a person is this? He says he's one who thinks you can arrive at the truth in an instant. And with a weak deos and a very lax bakasha. Right? And without any chachmas at all. And you're just satisfied with the pshute hamikubalos. Yeah, so he's describing what? He's describing a person. How would you actually define this type of a person? Right. I mean, but he is definitely putting it into a type of person that doesn't believe in any depth, right? There's no depth. Everything is as it appears, and that's part of the problem of not understanding anything that's not physical, because you're going to go with your you don't appreciate chachma and forces and things that you can't see. So on the whole, he's saying it's a person who really doesn't value chachma. Doesn't value chachma. He values Torah knowledge, right? He values Torah knowledge, but he doesn't perceive anything as having any depth. So that's what he says. He thinks he can understand something in an instant because it's a fact. Like a fact, we understand this. Yeah. He doesn't believe that there's a process of analysis that requires a lot of contemplation and thought and new ideas and maybe being taught by someone who knows these things. It's
makes sense, though.
Yeah.
You think about it. If you're taking a standpoint that you've got to give
to someone. I mean, that's an interesting thing. That's like Ibn Ezra says, why does the Rebbe Yudalevi in Ibn Ezra, right, on Anoch Hashem Alekecha, Shehoz Yisichon Yisraim, so Ibn Ezra over there says, I think he says over there that Rebbe Yudalevi asked him, why doesn't it say Anoch Hashem Alekecha, that's a Borei Shemayim Arts, right, in the Chumash. So he says, because that idea is very hard for people to understand. That idea is only someone who has, chachma could really appreciate that. He says, but the Torah is for everybody, so you have to anchor it, much like the Kuzri starts out, because it's the, although, you know, it's not Reuel Ezra, it's the Kuzri. But it has to be anchored in something that's accessible to everybody. But the person should say, look, I know the Torah is accessible to everybody. I know that the foundation of the Torah is accessible to everybody, but I also know that there is Sisrei Torah. And I know that God gave a system that is capable of being understood by each on his level. If it was just Anoch Hashem Lokecha Boris Yishmaim Varetz, right? So then you would say, well, not everybody can see that. There was no Maimon Har Sinai or something. If it was just based on philosophical speculation, so you say, well, then it's inaccessible to people. But it's not. It was given at Sinai, and it was based on the Nisim of Mitzrayim. So that's accessible to everybody. But to think that is all that there is, right? Why would a person think that that's all that there is?
Is that the more obvious choice?
Yeah, or in other words, the more naive choice. So
I don't know if it's naive. I mean, like, I understand what you're saying now from hindsight bias.
Right.
Now that we know that it has deeper levels. And
well, he's saying because the Torah says, the Rambam is saying because the Gemara says there are Sisrei Torah.
I'm saying that's the Gemara. Okay.
But he's saying they are learning the Gemara, then they're taking the things pshuto. So he says, where's the Sisrei Torah? In other words, they learn through the Gemaras, and they have to acknowledge that the Gemara does say things are Sisrei Torah. But they never find them. For some reason, everything that they uncover is pashut. So he's trying to show them that from the thing, they're not really being honest. They're not really being honest, and they should acknowledge that there's the nigla and the nister. He says that's what we hold. We always hold that there's the nigla and the nister. I mean, that's not a revolutionary idea. All the mefarshim, you know, he's the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, a lot of things like that. So he's saying, but you have to be able to accept the fact that there's something out there that I don't have. That's something, I think the Ram says it somewhere, I can't remember where exactly he says. Any type of knowledge that a person doesn't have, he always puts down. Whenever somebody meets somebody, if you're not a mathematician, you meet a mathematician, you say, who needs math? You don't know a dictic, you say, who needs a dictic? Everything you find, anybody you find who has knowledge, more knowledge than you in a particular area, you never want to say, I don't know that because I'm lazy, I'm stupid, I don't know that because there's no reason to know that. That guy's wasting his time going into that. Right? That, he's saying, is a certain type of, it's like, I think the Ramban calls a certain, like a moaseh ha-chachma. There are certain types of people like that. They're just moaseh ha-chachma. They hate chachma. Right? But not that they hate chachma, and they are going to say that they hate the truth. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to say they hate the truth, right? They're going to say that, like you were saying, they're overanalyzing it, they're splitting hairs. You know, you can always lodge a lot of types of complaints against these things. But in the end, you're going to say, I really have everything you need, and I don't have chachma. So these things are, you know, they're simple. They're pashut. That's the type of and that's exactly why he says even some of them will criticize us and say we're off. They're not going to be nichna. They're not going to say. They're not going to admit that there's something that they don't have that's of value, and that's going to lead to this type of a thing, to simplifying everything. Yeah, he's going to go. I mean, a lot of what he does later is he does go into this type of profile. Okay, let's go a little further now. So it says like this, a little historical point. Vikash, does someone want to read? You want to read? Okay, let's see. This one's a little easy to read.
Yeah.
I don't know, go ahead, I'll help you out.
You got that one from the...
No, I'll help you out, go ahead.
Kasher, he's parsing of Hebrew in his death. There's only no more half Hebrew on Kado. Baratos, he's parsing of Baksovos. Nemo lanish echam yinah familim, but the Masik, Amar sheinz kiyas hamesim.
So anyway, so after he wrote the Yad HaChazaka, right? The Mishnah Torah. So he says that there was someone in Damascus who said that there's no Tchias HaMesim. Okay. So they said to him, how can you say this? Right. So they brought a riot from the Rambam. Because the Rambam says the main thing is Olam Haba, and there's no guf. So the ones who were arguing with them brought all these rayas from the Gemaras, and they said, no, that's all a mashal. Interesting thing. So when he first heard of these kooks, so he just said, they're going to be batal b'miyuto. Nobody's going to pay any attention to these guys. Because nobody's going to get fooled by them, because it's too crazy what they're saying. So he just let it go. That was the first time he came around. First time he came around, he said, not worthy to respond to even. It's just something that's going to come and go, and nobody's going to pay any attention to them. Okay.
That's 11:89, he says. Okay.
Okay, so again, it recurred. Now the Teimanim are after him on this, right? They want to know about this. Is it true that there's no Tchias Amesim? Right? And there's a Raya, they brought the Raya again from Olam Haba. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, what do you see from this, though? What do you really see from this? Just like a historical perspective, what do you see from this? That when the Rambam wrote that about Olam Haba, it like blew people away. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it sent shockwaves through the Jewish communities. And apparently it was such like it was perceived so revolutionary as to overthrow the old way of thinking.
Is that because of the way people just normally think, or is that because the other shitos were presented to people at the time, and that's what they?
I guess it was so entrenched that the ultimate reward is going to be going to come back and live.
I mean, just from the way that people took the chazals and just
yeah. And to hear somebody say that the ultimate thing is not the goof, everyone was working with the idea that the ultimate is to come back. Now someone's saying no, the ultimate is not. So then they have to simply dispose of the old concept. You can't you can't fit it in somewhere a second best. You know what I mean? Then you just have to get rid of it. It's much easier to look forward to that one because you know what you're going to be doing. But the point is that in their minds, that idea of the ultimate gemul was very strong, and apparently it's very foreign, the idea of the Rambam's idea of Olam Haba. So when he came and he said that the ultimate good is Olam Haba, they took it to mean as a total rejection of the idea of coming back. Because if you're not coming back for the ultimate reward, what are you coming back for? Right? Yeah.
Why is this so revolutionary? I mean,
I'm just saying. I'm saying it seems to be a historical fact.
Right.
I don't know.
Then how is it possible that they could be making such a huge error?
How is it possible?
I mean, that seems like a very important fact.
Well, because it wasn't a total error. That's the point. It wasn't an error. There was a truth to Tchias Amesim. There is a truth to Tchias Amesim.
Right.
But it became the more fascinating aspect. Okay. And then that became the part that people dwell on.
Right. And within that, then they lost track completely of what Olam Haba was. I mean, that's not a minor thing to lose track.
Yeah, but he's trying to explain why it happened. I mean, he's saying most people are not
capable of understanding.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay.
Same answer. Everything's a mashal now. So he says it became so that became the dominant view. Then it became like a total switch now, right? Now that became the dominant view. And they threw away anything else. Now there were people going around saying there's no more Tchias Amesim. It is an amazing thing, you know. Like It is an amazing thing. It's like a reversal. It's like a reversal. It's like the Ma'apilim, you know. They didn't want to go, and then they're running in. You know, it's like a total reversal. Not a derech chachma.
They winner pickers.
That's right. So they don't really. They're not really. It's like a. They're not really being fair. They're not really being honest and reading it honestly. They just like that one was wrong. Now I'm gonna go the other way. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Hey Shivonu al she'elosehem uvi'arnu lahem shetchias amesim hi pinas Torah v'yishuv hanefesh laguf v'lo yiforash zeh v'shechay hal ba achar tchias amesim as mosh v'arnu b'fer chela.
Okay, so he wrote them a short answer. I mean, he doesn't say exactly what he wrote them, but the gist of it was, nope, Tchias HaMesim is not a mashal, and it's a corner of the Torah, and it means that the nefesh will return to the guf, and you can't explain it as a mashal, and Olam Haba is after Tchias HaMesim. Okay, that's a question what that means, is after Tchias HaMesim. I think Kapach goes a little crazy with that. Because in the Yad, the Ram says it's not after Tchias HaMesim. Right? In the Yad, the Ram says it's not called Olam Haba because it's not here now. Mm-hmm. Right? In Hilchos Tshuva, he says we don't call it Olam Haba because it's not here now. And it's coming later. Right? But it's a different world. So, but this one, he sounds like he's saying it comes after Tchias HaMesim. Like, where is it now? So, yeah. So he has a whole thing over there on what the Rama means by this. He wants to, I think Kapach wants to say that he was, this is not the Ram Shita, but this is what he knew the Teimanim held according to Sajigon, and he just wrote them according to what they held. And he in the footnote goes crazy. He says, how could the Ram ever do such a thing like that? So he wants to say that, well, I forgot what he said already. Okay. Now, all right. So he said again. He thought that he had settled the matter. Right. First time he ignored it. Now he addressed it, and he thought now he's definitely put this thing to rest.
At
1191. Okay. This is a funny story here. It says now 2 years later, he got another letter from some of his friends in Bavel. So he says they mentioned that they asked from the Anshei Teiman, right? That the Anshei Teiman asked about these matters to this Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbeinu Shmuel Alevi. Okay. So apparently the Teimanim were very interested in the subject matter. They weren't satisfied with the Rambam's answer. Right? Because they asked this other guy now. So he wrote them a Maimar. Okay. He made our words in this matter. I guess he meant the letter he sent to them, the original letter he sent to the Teimanim, to say that Tchias HaMesim is factually true, not an allegory for anything. So he says that he made some of our words as a mistake, okay, and some of them he was able to, as capable of being justified, and some of them he did justify. And he says the Ozar he has over here. He saved a little bit with his pen. I mean, he helped. He basically said the Rambam is mainly wrong. Mainly, he's wrong. He said about the Rambam, but maybe you can use Malamas Chus on certain things that he said. Maybe he meant a different thing. And basically, he didn't accept the Rambam's sheet over there. Okay, good. It's very funny. It gives him a lot of cover over here. So then we finally got a hold of this, the actual thing that the guy wrote. And we saw all the drashas and agadas that he collected.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody knows this. This is something that everybody knows.
Except for all the people we talked about before.
It's something that everybody knows, that you don't ask from Chachomim to have the drushos, to have just a story of drushos and amazing events. That's not what you want from a Chacham. That's what women do in the Beis HaAvel. This is the second time you use that expression, right?
Yeah.
What you want from a Chacham is someone to explain the thing until it makes sense. Right? Or close to making sense. I don't know exactly what that is. But you have an approach to it. Something give you an insight into the thing. We don't need a Chacham to just collect and compile a lot of stories that don't help us understand anything, right? We need from a chacham. So he's first of all knocking this guy's mimer, saying there's no reason for him to just compile amazing statements of Chazal. Well, what do we need that for?
Isn't like a whole series of children's books, Koasu Chachamenim?
What is it called?
Koasu Chachamenim.
Koasu. Huh.
What's the Shinsadi?
Shinsadi. He says there's two gears as much Shinsadi is. One is, where is Station Sadi?
He says it every time he mentions this guy. Shmuel Halevi Shinsadi, and he says Hagon Shinsadi.
Yeah, where does he have that? Oh, he has it over here. He says Shamrehu Tsuro. That means God should protect him. That's one gear. So the other one is Shmuel Tzedek. I don't know. That's the other possibility. Go ahead.
Okay, so he says,
The Yosef Nifla Mizeh. Okay, so he says more amazing than this, more amazing than the fact that the guy wasted all of everybody's time just collecting stories, right, and statements of Chazal without explaining anything. More amazing than that was the astounding opinions that he mentions. And he attributes to them, to the philosophers with regard to the soul.
It
was when he started thinking, that was even worse. Okay, go ahead. So the first mistake is it's obvious from what he wrote that he considered these Arabic philosophers, the Muslim philosophers, with the Rambam. Puts down all the time. He's always knocking them, right? He considered them philosophers. Okay,
the good kind of philosophers, or just
philosophers? The philosophers. Mm-hmm. No, he considered that to be philosophical knowledge. That's what he considers philosophical knowledge. The extent. That's it. The A to Z of philosophy.
These are people who think that like the imagination, anything that you can measure is real.
Right. Right. So the amazing thing in this Maimar, even though it's all astounding, okay, but this is the one thing that stands out in the Rama's mind as the most astounding, okay. Right. He says that this guy says that the philosophers don't consider the return of the soul to the body as an impossibility. Mm-hmm. But the philosophers think it's possible. Because it is possible, impossible, and necessary. He's saying, this guy was saying that the philosophers, like the true philosophers, just philosophical speculation, comes up with an idea of the soul coming back to the body. I don't know where this would fit into this whole thing. It's hard to know what he was doing over here.
Naturally.
Like there's a natural tchias hamesim. That the philosophers thought this was natural. Why is that astounding? Yeah, why is that astounding? For, I guess he's saying that that no philosophers said this. And how would that be a natural thing? I mean, that's because that's the Rambam's point later on. That tchias hamesim is the most unnatural thing. It's the most unnatural thing. There's no natural process that after decomposition of the body it should just recompose and absorb a soul.
I heard that Maslitz,
forgotten what context, but he said that the model argument for chaos mason was that you can have everything go from one state to its opposite and back. And you can have something that was cold become hot and then become cold again. So it should be the same thing with life and death.
But you need a cause. You still need a cause. You
decompose and recompose on their own.
You need a cause.
We had that idea, right, by like in science, a ramp, right? It comes down, evaporates, goes back up, comes back down again.
The cycle.
Yeah.
The water cycle.
Shlomo
Melch talks about the water cycle. Corrales.
Back to life.
Right, but it's not, but you're not coming back to life.
It's sort of like
the people who are afraid that the world is going to, that the universe is going to start contracting, and for some reason that necessitates everything going backwards. Never understood why those two things are related. But like, you know, some people, I don't know why, like if time is going to go backwards, something, everyone's going to come out of the grave and get younger, and even though time never actually goes backwards, but you know, that would be that could be if things would start running backwards. But I mean, it's not a cycle, You don't see anything like that. I don't know.
I mean, well, as you're saying, by the way, just because you don't see it, right?
Right.
I don't mean that it doesn't exist. It might mean the cycle hasn't started yet.
Well, I think the Rambam probably means that according to philosophers, you need a cause to combine things. Right? Now, there has to be a cause. If something is a composite, then there has to be a cause for the composition. So it can't just be a natural thing that that the body, after it disintegrates, will just naturally reform. Without another cause, I mean, and that type of cause is completely there's no cause like that we know of.
You need a cause for decomposition too, right?
You need a cause for decomposition too, yeah, but that's the natural nature of matter. That's the nature of matter. That's what the Rambam says is like the Malach HaMoves. The Malach HaMoves and the Yetzirah and the Satan. They're all the physical, the nature of the physical. That comes from the same. They're all the same thing. It's all part of the nature of the physical, right? Because Chazal say it's the same thing.
What does that mean?
It means the physical is responsible for all of those things. That you die because you're physical, right? You have your Yetzirah comes from the
animalistic design,
right? But going after those things. So, yeah, but anyway, I don't know. It doesn't pay for us to try to figure out what exactly it means over here. We'll have to go later on. When he discusses why it's such a big nace later on, we'll see. But here he's saying it's just astounding that the guy would say attribute this to the philosophers apparently is something that nobody's ever done before. Okay.
So he says that Zin Mamar Yorshem Adamrim et lo him chachmei ha-philosophim.
So this Maimer shows that he considers the Medabrim the philosophers, and he has no knowledge at all in the way of understanding, in the way that the philosophers understand what it means to be necessary, impossible, and possible. Okay, again, he quoted another guy. He considered them to be philosophers. So this guy was like, I don't know where he was coming from, like totally upside down.
Yeah.
And now he says the philosophers don't believe in the eternity of the soul.
So they believe that the soul will come back.
I don't know how it can come back if it doesn't.
Yeah.
Can't figure out who is he calling philosophers. He never mentions the seichel at all. This gone. Never mentions the seichel once.
Lo ida im ha-nefesh v'asechel b'filosofuso davar echad.
So maybe he just considers the nefesh and the seichel as one thing.
Oh, nefesh tishar v'asechel yichle.
Or the nefesh will remain and the seichel will be gone.
Oh, seichel yishar v'nefesh yichle.
Okay, you know, it's okay.
V'hi ha-nefesh v'asher amar she'al filosofim lo yoda huha.
And this nefesh, v'hiya nefesh yer omar, so he mentions what? He mentions nefesh, he doesn't mention seichel.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't even know what it's talking about over there. Maybe it means Adam?
V'ulay ha-seichel etzlo mikra, mo shi yomru ha-medabim, asher heim chak ne-ha-filosofim etzlo.
Okay, so if the seichel is just an accident, then it's definitely going to be gone. Good.
Avilu his topic zehagaon bekibut adrashos ahim v'amasios uferush apzugim ahim asher his bar beferush hafu shetfias amesim miskeret beveir hatorah betorah hayhanaus v'aroy lepiotzato.
So if you would have just collected all the drashos and the maisim and the psukim, that would have been good.
Sof davar kol ma she'amaru o rubo kvar nemar kiyotzato o pachas mimenu.
So whatever he said. Right. Well, most of it was already said,
yeah.
Or less than it.
Then come the same b'mamarinu zeh lachlok al davar mimasha kolal osa hamamar hahu lachlok zachar.
Okay. Didn't even really mean to mention it.
Vamnum zacharnu mimenu masha zacharnu letzorach hevi elav b'masha enafim bo kamoshi isbar lemistakel.
So he's only mentioning it to. He needs to letzorach hevi elav masha enafim bo. Yeah, because he's in it. I mean, the Rambam is in it.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to rectify. Well, you know.
Right. Well, kamasinu limakom to elas hamagas lamislamid lo lamashi yitala beezras ish v'hagdalaso o v'hashbalas acher v'haknatavim naso.
Well, because we're in the subject matter, let's discuss it. What? Okay. Well, kamasinu limakom to elas hamagas lamislamid. Okay, he wants to just benefit the Islamid. Go ahead.
Lolamashi Yitala Bezras Ish Vahagdalasa or Bahashpalasa.
All right. It doesn't mean to put anyone up, but put anyone down.
Vadarki Hamachlokas Vahaharisa Mutaros Lamisha Yirta Lalechas Man. Vashem Yiskorba Adenu Zos Haderach Lagiyotaba.
Funny thing to say. It says that the Derech of Machlokas and destruction they are mutter to whoever wants to go in them. But Hashem should close off for us this Derech.
All
right. Okay, it's enough of this introduction. Let's get started.
When he said that this guy didn't, it would have been good had he not just wrote the psukim and all these things and compiled them and not added anything. Didn't the Rambam say something somewhere that that's what he really did? That he was just putting everything together?
Well, I guess he held though that he's giving insight by putting them together.
Okay.
I like that idea, by the way. I mean, it's just an interesting position. That, you know, we can go in the depth of destruction and whatever it is, but, like, you know, God shouldn't have destruction. Because then you, like, have this own idea, like, you know, God doesn't really care what you do, right, as long as, but, like, there are rewards if you do it the right way.
Right. That's true.
And, like, what makes that false, like, isn't that what makes it false, like, out of the Torah? I should, like, we'll, like, hear both sides of it.
What does he mean as mutter? I don't even know
like
mutter.
Why is it mutter? Good things is salulos. That makes more sense. Salulos. Like it's open. Like
salulos.
It's paved. Yeah. But mutaros, because he would say like
yeah.
Makante. Yeah, or like machlok or shalom shema. It's not.
But the samach?
The samach.
Yeah. It's a funny expression to say that it's mutaros. A mutarim.
Yeah.
Darkei machlok is a risa mutarim. I mean, let me see it's left of them. Strange thing to say. Doesn't make sense. Okay. Well, we don't have exactly the right gear set. I don't know what the gear
says.
Psuchos. Psuchos makes sense. Open. I guess mutar means not
unbalanced.
Does that mean you're not capable of doing it? Oxford.
I think so.
I mean, open as in mutar.
And then you say, I can't stop a guy from it. Can't stop a guy from it. And I guess he means also that it's like, it's a very delicate thing, like he's doing over here. He's saying, I have to mention this guy. I have to mention this guy. I'm forced to. But I'm not doing it in a personal way. You know, a lot of it has to do with you know, you know people do that all the time. They really are. What does Rambam call it? You're miskabi b'kalom chavero. You know, Rambam says you just say, look, I'm not saying it. I'm saying, look at him and look at me. I'm not saying anything. You make your own conclusions. You draw your own conclusions, right? Doesn't he say it's very hard to do tshuva? Because the person says, what am I saying? I'm not saying lies. I'm saying, look at what he did, look what I did. You know, so I think he means, maybe he means like mutar and lemisha, yiritzel leches, but I mean to say to him it looks mutar. Like I'm a little slow tonight. What do we call it? You know, Mora heter la'atzmo. Mora heter la'atzmo. You know what I mean? The guy's a mora heter la'atzmo. Meaning to say, he paskins for himself that it's good. Because it's something that is very it's very determined by your motivation. You know what I mean? You say, I have to go out and fight for the truth and I have to put this guy down. For the truth! Milchamto shel Torah. You can have all the most... the firmest statements to back you up. And I guess that's what I'm saying over here. Saying, look, I have to do this because it's what we're talking about. And this guy's mimer apparently had a big effect. But he's only trying to show, he's only doing it to remove certain mistakes. And he doesn't want to have to mention this guy, but he has no choice. And he's saying, once you're engaging in this is a very delicate thing because it could look mutter to you. You know what I mean? If you really have that desire to seek personal fame at the expense of others, right, it looks mutter. It looks mutter. Because you'll be malami, you'll be moraheta. You'll say, I have to do it. So that's what he's saying. I'm doing it to a certain amount, and I know that it's something that people can unconsciously, you know, allow themselves to go into. And that's why he puts a little tefillah over here. But he's saying, but God should close it off. Ba'adenu. Saying he's recognizing that it's something that he's something that's not so pushy even to yourself to know exactly where to draw the line. And to know exactly how far you have to go and how much is justified. And he's acknowledging that. Right? That's what he means. It's an interesting idea. Right. So the Rambam says that's what he says. Is that Tchias HaMeisim, which is well known and famous in our nation, and everybody agrees upon it, right? And it's mentioned in the Tfilos and in these Meisim and in the more Tfilos that were authored by the Nevi'im and Gedolei HaChachamim, right? That's filled with the Talmud and the Midrashas are filled with them. It means exactly what it sounds like, that the nefesh returns to the guf. Okay, that's what we were trying to stress in the beginning, that he's in the beginning he was trying to say that he's not coming to say something, to go against something that's open and clear to everybody. Right, he says nobody ever argued on this. Can't be that. He was just coming to clarify things. Can't be that he's going to come and overthrow something that was never had a machlokes about. Nobody explains it away. You're not allowed to believe about somebody that he doesn't believe in this.
Not the guy in Damascus.
Well, I mean, he's saying that you shouldn't be choshish somebody not to believe it.
V'hini asid levayer lecha b'zeh mamar lama lo nefarish elu halashonos k'mo shepirashnu v'shonos rabim b'torah v'hoteinu osami p'shutehen.
Okay, so he's going to give you previews now. What's he going to explain? This Maimer is going to explain how come we don't take these psukim as a mashal like we do a lot of other psukim.
V'chin zos tchias mesin v'yushuv ha'nefesh laguf ha'kar alavis.
Okay, so that pasuk in Daniel is clear that says many of the sleepers of the dust of the earth will wake up, right? That's true. Means this world. Olam is one of those hard words, yeah. Too. Okay, so you can't. So that pasuk is clear, and I guess you're gonna have to explain why he doesn't.
Why isn't Darshan out?
Yeah.
Can't explain it away.
What does that mean? You can explain with everything away.
Right.
He's going to
explain why.
So
okay, we never
say
anything like that.
Yeah.
So where do we say? Is it everybody knows where do we say this? So maybe you'll say that we said it by something like that the Chazal argue about, that the Meisei Yechezkel, what did it really happen or not, right? Is Machlokas if it really happened or not? Lo Yavi El Meisei. Any Machlokas that's not Yavi El Meisei, there's no Lech L'Meisei on. So you can go either way. No psak. Right. What? So anything that's just a machlokas in svara, and there's no psak, and there's no halach lemaisa, there's no hachra. There's no such thing as saying we paskin that you have to believe this way. Right.
All right.
I guess we're stopping.